Welcome to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. My name is Chris, and thanks for joining me today. Today is podcast number 6, and it is part 4 of our chickens series. And today we're going to be talking about some common chicken ailments, and we're going to wrap it up with a quick discussion on incubators. So let's get right into it. So when being a chicken doctor, everyone who has chickens needs to be a chicken doctor over their flock. It's important to stay vigilant. That is probably the top most important thing you can do, is to stay vigilant and to pay attention to your flock. You know, one outbreak could affect the whole flock and could have some pretty devastating consequences. So first thing I really want to say is just to keep a close eye on your birds. The first sickness or ailment or, you know, thing that could happen to them is they could contract mites. Now, it seems like mites just spontaneously happen wherever there are chickens. The mites just seem to find them. Even if you get them all from chicks and you build a brand new coop, they're going to get mites. So the way to combat that is to use diatomaceous earth in the dust bath. You know, make sure they have a good dust bath. They can fight it themselves through taking regular dust baths. And we put DE, or diatomaceous earth, in there, and it really helps them with their mite problem. Now, how to find mites, or how to find out if your chickens have mites, is you get one of your chickens. We like to do it at night, check them. Is you go out to the chicken coop and you go in there and grab them off the roost and hold them under your arm like a football, so their head's facing towards your armpit, and from there you can inspect their backside around their vent, and that's where you'll see any mite activity. So mites look like, you know, like what you'd imagine lice would look like, little brown bugs, and they're scurrying around there. Especially when you pull the feathers apart to look for mites. So they'll mostly be around the vent. That's where they like to concentrate. And they lay their eggs at the base of the feathers. So on the shaft of the feather, near the skin of the chicken, you'll see a white, looks kind of like dried chicken manure, but it is, those are eggs from the mites. And if you just make sure they have access to a good dust bath, put some DE in there, or you could sprinkle some permethrin in there that they can roll around in. That will also kill the bugs. You know, just a light coating of permethrin. It kills bugs, but is fine to bigger animals. Next thing I'd like to cover is pasty butt. This mostly happens to chicks when they're in the brooder. So the chicks, if they have a electrolyte imbalance, or if they're, you know, they're brand new, so maybe their intestines or their digestive system hasn't quite figured things out, they get runny diarrhea, and that will get on their feathers and then dry there, and then the next time they go to have a bowel movement, that gets on top of the last thing that dried, and pretty soon they have a stoppage back there, and they can't go to the bathroom, they can't relieve themselves, and so that can cause them to get backed up and could kill them. So like I said in the first part, just be vigilant and make sure that your chicks are taken care of. They don't know what to do yet, you know, at that age, and it kind of affects older chickens sometimes, but usually they can clean themselves a lot better and take care of themselves better, to where they don't, does not much of a problem in older chickens, but is very prevalent in little chicks. So how you can treat that is you dissolve the buildup with water and you massage it to break it up and rinse it off. You can supplement them with some electrolytes, and then they will, eventually their body will correct it, and as they grow up, it'll become less of a problem. the next ailment I want to talk about is impacted craw. Now, when, you know, we'd like to free range our birds, but sometimes when they get to eating grass that's really long, it gets into their craw. And the craw is, so when they eat, it goes in their beak and down to their craw. Their craw is where they store it until it can move down into their gizzard. The craw is located on the front of their breast. So when you see an impacted craw, you can see it right off the bat because it's hanging out. It's really big and looks abnormal. Where I was getting at was when they eat the long grass, it kind of forms a mat in the bottom of their craw. And so when they go to eat more foods, grains and bugs and such, it just builds on top of that mat, and soon they are sick and they can't, you know, nothing's going through their digestive system. If you don't correct it, they'll die because they starve to death. So some of the ways you can help treat that is massaging the craw and trying to get those things moved around and possibly get them to start moving through the digestive system. You can give them oil, feed the chickens olive oil, or water. Olive oil will lubricate the things in their craw, and the water might help to loosen things up and get it to move down. And if that doesn't work, then you can do surgery. There was on backyardchickens.com in the learning center, there's a how to diagnose and treat your chickens injuries and diseases, and there are pictures of a lady's surgery on her chicken that had an impacted craw. So that's something to look at if you're interested in how to treat them. They also have a lot of things on Bumblefoot and Merrick's disease and coccidiosis and just a lot of injuries and diseases here on backyardchickens.com, and they're a really good site for all things chicken. I use them for a lot of information. I'll also reference them later when we talk about incubators as well. So last little bit, I don't want to get too in-depth about these chicken ailments because there's just so many, and they're mostly preventable with clean water, healthy food, access to a dust bath, clean greens, and a vigilant a vigilant homesteader. So if there's any coughing, wheezing, runny noses, then you want to really look into that. And if it starts spreading around, then your county might have someone to call about coming out and testing your chickens. If not, you can call your vet or research on the internet. Just be careful on what you find on the internet. There's a lot of misinformation as well, as we all know. So now I'm going to get right into incubators. We have the IncuView, and you can get it through the Incubator Warehouse, and it is about $175. It holds 27 chicken eggs, or 49 quail eggs, 17 goose eggs. I think we fit, if my memory serves me right, 24 duck eggs in there. It's really good at holding temperature. It has an automatic turner in it, and also has a humidity gauge. On the Backyard Chicken, again, backyardchickens.com, in the forum, I searched IncuView incubator on the chicken egg incubator, something like that, in Google, and it popped up this reviews for the IncuView on Backyard Chickens. And people really like them. I mean, we've had really good success with ours. A lot of people, or a couple people, I should say, mentioned that the incubators that they had, other brands, had a hard time holding the temperature, that it moved all around, and this one's really steady. It uses 12 volt up to 240 volts, is what it said on the description, and it's a very reasonable price, and we've had good luck with ours. Easy to clean, has a clear lid over the top so you can see the eggs and you can see the chicks hatching clearly. It's got channels in the bottom that you can pour water in, and they even recommend that if humidity is not getting high enough, then you can put in a wet sponge and that will help raise the humidity in there as well. I think they work way better than a lot of other incubators out there for a lot of people losing, you know, having really bad hatch rates, losing a lot of chicks because of using the styrofoam models, because the temperature just fluctuates so much. And so this is really stays steady, and it's really good product. When you're looking for incubators, one of the things I want to mention is to look for an automatic turner. You want it to turn your eggs automatically, so you don't have to check it a few times, you know, a couple times a day, because if you miss it, then you could possibly damage or lose some chicks. If it's a manual, sometimes you think that looks pretty nice and it's a decent price, but then it's a manual turner and they'll sell you a turner for that model at another, you know, $50 or whatever the case may be. Start out with an incubator with a automatic chicken egg turner, and I think you'll be a lot happier. Now, when you're hatching your eggs, chicken eggs typically take 21 days. When you first put your eggs in there, some people wash them and some people don't. I would suggest just making sure all of the big pieces of manure or mud or anything like that are off of there, so that it doesn't harden on there and make it difficult for the chick to get out. Chicks take, as I said, 21 days. When you put it into, when you put them in the incubator, first you heat the incubator up so that it's at 99.5 degrees and 50% humidity. Then you put the eggs in, and after a week, you want to look at them, candle them, which candling means you put a flashlight underneath them and let the light shine through the egg, and it'll kind of give you you can see inside of it. So you won't go into a dark room to do it, of course. So you shine this light through, and it will show you if the air sac is on the round end like it should be. If after a week you should be seeing veins and a little heart pumping. What at this point you're trying to see what eggs are fertile and what eggs aren't fertile. Then at 2 weeks you'll want to check again and make sure, so at 14 days you'll want to check again and make sure that none of the eggs that you candled are at that same stage. When you check them the first time, they should have veins all through it and a little heart pumping. Checking the second time, they should start to see a chick moving around in there. But if it still has just the veins and a heart, then it's probably dead and it didn't make it past that stage. So you need to take those eggs out. If you leave them in there, an egg at 99.5 degrees, if it's not growing, a baby is going to go rotten. If it breaks, which they can and they will, they can get hot and then they'll just pop and spread rotten egg all around in your incubator. It could be potentially harmful to the chicks. Plus, it smells really bad. Then at day 18, you want to stop the egg turner from turning, and they call it go on lockdown, where you raise the humidity and just sit back and watch. And on day 20 or 21, now some chicks are a little bit early depending on humidity and temperature, keep a wary eye out and an ear out, and they'll start peeping and start pecking through, and pretty soon you'll see them start popping through the shells. And it's also important not to help them. Some people help them after they've struggled for a while, help them, you know, crack, pull a little bit of shell back, but we don't help our chicks at all hatch. And the reason we don't do that is that we want strong chicks that will be able to, they're more healthy. If they're weak chicks, then they'll most likely die later on. And this is kind of a natural selection, which, you know, on our farm, we try to have things take the natural cycles. Just understand that we'll lose some chicks. And it's sad, but it's the way things are. Well, I think that covers it for incubators. I just want to touch real quick on incubators, which I did, and the pests and injuries and diseases. There's a lot more on that, but I think that these are the most common ones. Once again, Backyard Chickens has really good information on that. Well, this wraps up the last of the chicken episodes. I hope you've enjoyed them. And if you found these episodes or any of our episodes useful, I'd really appreciate it if you head on over to Patreon. Check out our page there. It's at Patreon, patreon.com/Haven Homestead. Haven Homestead's one word. And you can support us and support the show and keep it going for as little as a dollar a month. And I'd really appreciate that. Also, our website's at havenhomestead.com. This has been the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.